from loss of livelihood to trafficking to sexual violence to becoming heads of household for roles which they've not been prepared for. Let's not forget that we live in a patriarchal society with gender stereotypes, gender division of labor. And so for so many women that have not been prepared to be heads of household, suddenly violent conflicts occur and they are quickly transited into a situation where they have to fend for the family in addition to all the other traditional roles that they perform. It's confusing, it's conflicting, but at the same time, it provides opportunities for women to transform the gender dynamics, promote their meaningful and substantive participation in the process, and that's where their skills as the other half of the human population come into being.
What are some of the key contributions women make in conflict resolution and prevention?
The world is made up of two kinds of population. We have the male and the female. And then you have only one side of the population making all the decisions. And these decisions impact on both types of populations. We are not saying that women bring better ideas. I'm not an advocate of that. But women bring substantive ideas to the table, which in many cases is different. When you wear the gender lens, you see that the way women perceive and do things on the ground is different from the way men do it. And when you have both working as partners in building the society, then you can really resolve conflicts.
What are some of the biggest challenges in getting women more involved or getting their voices heard when it comes to peacekeeping and conflict prevention?
I wouldn't say capacity. I won't start with capacity, but I will start with even the acknowledgement of the role of women, because we need to get to the point where the society acknowledges the value and the capacity of women. And then the second one is women's enhanced capacity. Because they've been denied the performance of these roles for a long time, you can't, in most cases, compare the capacity they bring to the table. Especially, I want to look at women in the local levels, because we're talking at all levels. When we talk about the role women play, not just at the elitist level, we need to look at all the multiple levels women exist in. So we also need to look at the discrimination, the exclusion that women have been facing. And so most times their capacity are not as enhanced because they've not been given the opportunity. Not necessarily that they don't have the capacity, but they've not been given the opportunity.
How has the resolution evolved since it was adopted 17 years ago?
Since we had a resolution, it has given us a broad framework for engagement. We've seen an expansion of the women's movement. Yes, there is shrinking spaces, but the shrinking spaces has also provided opportunities for women to organize and push back. The resolution is by women and for women, and we've taken charge of the resolution and we're pushing the agenda forward. So that's what has been happening the last 17 years. We need to consistently and committedly hold state members to the obligation to women. We will not relent, even though we know the gap from the policy and the implementation is still huge, but that won't stop us. We'll keep asking, we'll keep pushing until we achieve gender equality.